To Sleep, Perchance, to Dream of Lightsabers. Written by Soft But Gremlin and read by Lattice Frames. Summary. Cody's fallen asleep at his desk. Obi-Wan knows that he's going to be awfully stiff in the morning if he stays like that, and resolves to carry him to his bed. Chapter 1. Cody, do you have... Obi-Wan stopped as he took in the scene. Cody's side of the office where we do reports was awfully chaotic today. Hollow pads and flimsy were scattered about. A half-empty cup of calf sat neglected, undoubtedly cold by now. A stylus had fallen onto the floor and rolled near the center of the room. And a set of armor was haphazardly stacked in the corner. Though Cody's blaster was undoubtedly in one of the half-open desk drawers, easily accessible, but just out of sight. Riley, Obi-Wan also noted that his favorite robe, which he'd given up as lost after the mission earlier in the day, was neatly folded and placed to the left of Cody's armor. In the center of the mess was his CC, asleep at his desk. One arm was bent, cushioning the side of his face. The other stretched across the desk, hand posed as though still holding a stylus. Obi-Wan smiled softly. Quietly, he began to tidy up the office. Cody must have been completely exhausted. Typically, even if he was dozing, as soon as a door slid open or someone shuffled flimsy, Cody would flinch back into alertness, ready to take on whatever awaited him. Still, Obi-Wan padded silently around the room. There was no reason to clatter about and test just how deeply asleep Cody actually was. Cody didn't get enough sleep in general, and Obi-Wan wouldn't deprive him of even a second of sleep he might manage to find. Obi-Wan dumped the calf in the sink of the attached fresher and set the cup on the counter to be cleaned later. Then he had stacked all of the hollow pads and flimsy into a pile on the corner of the desk, so that they were neat, if not organized. He placed the stylus on the top of the pile. Cody had his favorites, and he hated losing them. Obi-Wan couldn't tell one from another by looking at them. They were, after all, just GAR-issued standard styluses. But he could feel a slight fondness for this one in the Force when he picked it up. He closed all of the desk drawers, making sure to remove Cody's blaster from the top one, so it wouldn't be forgotten and left behind. Finally, Obi-Wan picked up his robe and slid it over his shoulders. The weight of it was comforting, and the comfort was tinged by appreciation that he wouldn't have to stop by the quartermaster's office when they arrived on Coruscant. Again. Well, as long as nothing happened between now and next week. Cody was going to be awfully stiff in the morning if he stayed like that, so Obi-Wan resolved to take him to his bunk. He sent a light force suggestion to Cody to remain asleep, which wouldn't prevent Cody from waking up if he wanted to, but would slow his waking enough that Obi-Wan wouldn't find himself thrown across the room by battle instinct. And gently wrapped his arm around the commander's shoulders, pulling him back enough to maneuver him out from behind the desk. Then he picked Cody up, cradling him securely in his arms. The routine was almost automatic to Obi-Wan, after years of finding his Padawan asleep over homework and carrying him to bed. As Obi-Wan turned to leave the office, Cody's blaster and armor picked themselves up and floated along nicely behind them. It wouldn't do for them to be halfway across the ship if an emergency happened in the morning, after all. There weren't many people out at this hour, but Obi-Wan still gave himself an aura of "notice me not" as he carried his commander to the officer's quarters. Scuttlebutt on the ship was relentless, and getting caught with Cody in his arms would have the rumors of his and Cody's star-crossed secret affair increased by tenfold the next shift rotation, especially considering that he was heading to Cody's bunk. He found the rumors equally amusing and annoying. Some of the subtle stunts that troopers got up to in trying to get him and Cody to admit passionate, romantic, and inappropriate feelings for each other were incredibly entertaining, but occasionally the rumors led to quite a bit of awkwardness between him and his commander. Neither of them had quite worked up to broaching the subject of the scuttlebutt with the other. And in the meantime, Obi-Wan tried not to encourage the rumors. But he didn't bother to discourage them either. He was certain that denying the rumors would only make them spread more viciously, and he didn't want to cause Cody to have to deal with any mockery from his men that could be prevented. Obi-Wan made it to Cody's quarters without a hitch, and typed in the passcode to the room. Cody had insisted that he know it in case of emergency, and Obi-Wan had returned the sentiment, having Cody memorize the code to his own quarters. That was another thing that seemed to encourage rumor, them knowing each other's room passcodes. He hardly thought that such a thing should be construed as romantic. Especially considering the medics also had the passcode to Obi-Wan's room, and most of the time, people other than him using his passcode were just bullying him into going to bed far earlier than he thought he ought to. But something, the inherent romance of trusting another person and all that. He carefully maneuvered himself, Cody, and everything he was carrying with the Force into the room, and flicked the light on at its lowest setting. Gently, Obi-Wan laid Cody on his bunk and tucked his blankets over him. He didn't know where or how Cody typically stacked his armor, but he put it in a neat pile against the wall and set the blaster atop a dresser, safely out of arm's reach of the bed, but within easy view in case it was needed. Just as he was turning to leave, Obi-Wan caught sight of what he'd been searching for when he'd come into the office. He'd held out his hand, and his lightsaber quietly unhooked itself from the belt of Cody's armor and flew towards him. He caught it easily and clipped it to his own belt. Obi-Wan shut off the light, let himself out, and went in search of a cup of tea. He hadn't decided yet if he would head to bed himself or finish a few reports, but perhaps tonight he'd drink a meditative blend instead of a caffeinated one. Chapter 2. Summary. Cody wakes up and is very confused. When Cody woke up, he had the distinct confusion of not knowing how he ended up in his bunk. Had he really been that tired that he had somehow barely consciously stumbled down to his quarters to go to bed? The fact that he was still in his blacks indicated a yes, as did the fact that even now, sleep was practically singing his name, the siren song of 5 more minutes, almost enough to push away the niggling sense of wrongness that he felt. But as he blearily looked around the room, he only got more confused, because even half asleep, he'd been trained since decanting to spot all of the discrepancies, no matter how small. Noticing anything out of the ordinary could mean the difference between surviving an ambush and getting your squad killed. And notice he did. He was tucked into his blankets, which seemed out of place for having just exhaustively flopped onto the bunk. His blaster was atop his dresser, rather than slung in its holster on the door handle of the wardrobe. He didn't even see his holster. Oh, wait, yes he did. It was in the pile of armor stacked next to his bed rather than placed on the armor rack in the wardrobe. A pile of armor that notably did not have a lightsaber with it. If he had been a little more awake, he might have come to the logical conclusion. As it was, though, Cody panicked, knowing that the lightsaber was the only thing standing between his general and certain death, no matter how soon it got lost in battle. If Obi-Wan didn't have it, and Cody didn't have it, there was a major problem. He bolted out of bed, not bothering to change into a new set of blacks. Cody quickly put on as little armor as he felt comfortable wearing, weighing speed versus possible danger if they had a threat aboard the ship. It was possible that Cody had simply left the lightsaber somewhere, but in his experience, the 212th was never that lucky. Once he had the critical torso pieces, his shin guards, and his VAM braces, Cody grabbed his bucket and his blaster and sped off. First, he would go to the office just in case he had made an honest mistake. After that, he would find Obi-Wan. He set off at speed towards the office where we do reports, ignoring other troopers as he passed. He didn't want to say anything that would send them into a panic, especially if he was wrong. Best to keep the investigation quiet and subtle until he was sure that there was something to panic about. To his surprise, no one else was in the office. Typically, there was at least one officer using the quiet space to write. He noticed that his desk was suspiciously tidy, all of the papers stacked into a pile with the stylus on top, all the drawers neatly closed. No empty or half-empty mugs of caff. He was starting to sense a very confusing theme. What sort of thief would clean up after themselves? More importantly, what sort of thief would clean up in such an incorrect way that it raises suspicion? He checked all of the drawers. No lightsaber. He checked around the desk where he'd piled things last night, but no luck. Obi-Wan's robe wasn't where he left it either. That could be easy to explain. Why would Cody take it back to his room? It wasn't like it was attached to his armor, and if he'd left it, Obi-Wan could have found it during the night cycle and taken it back to his own room. On the other hand, both the robe and the lightsaber missing could mean that the thief was after General Kenobi's things specifically. He had no idea what they might want with the robe, of all things, but... Cody? Cody whirled around. General! Is everything all right? Obi-Wan was standing just inside the door, looking mildly concerned, but unharmed and unworried. Surely if something was going to go wrong, he'd be more tense. Cody could always tell when something was going to go wrong, because Obi-Wan got tense long before he realized he was feeling something in the Force. Seeing Obi-Wan relaxed almost made Cody relax reflexively. Almost. But there was still the problem at hand. Sir, your lightsaber. At that moment, Cody spotted the offending instrument on Obi-Wan's hip. Suddenly, a lot of things clicked into place. Cody dropped into his chair with a long-suffering sigh. Obi-Wan's demeanor was as serene as ever, but Cody thought there might have been a twitch of a smile at the corner of his mouth. Not quite awake yet, Commander? Obi-Wan asked. All due respect, sir. Kark off. That actually surprised a tiny laugh, and an almost grin out of Obi-Wan. Cody was stunned for a moment, caught like a ship in a tractor beam, too distracted for a second by the sight of Obi-Wan actually laughing, to realize that he had just told his commanding officer to kark off. Then, catching himself, Cody awkwardly cleared his throat. I was worried that someone had stolen your lightsaber, and that we had a hidden threat aboard the Negotiator. I'd hoped to investigate subtly before sending everyone else into a panic. I see, said Obi-Wan. You weren't entirely successful on that front. I could sense your distress from the training deck. Then, quieter, Obi-Wan added. Also, Waxer called me to check on you. Cody buried his face in his hands with another sigh. There's still an hour and a half before your shift starts, Obi-Wan offered. You might try to get a little more rest. Sir, have you slept at all in the past 24 hours? It was an automatic argument at this point. Neither of them could raise the issue of sleep without being called out for hypocrisy by the other. I have, actually. How much? Cody asked, before Obi-Wan could flip the argument back to him. 3.5 hours, Obi-Wan said. The council had an early meeting today. That's pretty good for you, sir, Cody admitted. Still pretty awful when compared to normal human beings, though. Another hour and a half would put you right in the range of normal human being amount of sleep. The tone was teasing, but the words were pointed. His general would not be deterred today. Understood, General. Cody got up from his seat. He doubted he would actually be getting any more sleep, but at the very least, he could freshen up and put on a clean set of blacks. As he walked back to his quarters, he realized how unprofessional and out of character he looked in partial armor and a 5 o'clock shadow. The brothers he passed all reacted with concern or alarm before quickly deciding whatever was going on was above their rank. Cody hoped this didn't spawn any weird rumors. He'd been dealing with quite enough rumors about him lately, thank you very much. It would be weird to just blurt out what had gone on to the people around him, though, especially since he had a well-deserved reputation of being a stoic, quiet person, so Cody could only hope that Waxer or another officer asked about it later. He also felt that preemptively defending himself might make it less likely that his brothers would believe whatever he told them, even if it was the truth. No, the only thing he could hope for would be someone else asking out of the kindness of their hearts and the desire to win their bets. Or, if that was simply too much to ask, he could at least hope that when Obi-Wan talked about it to someone, he didn't say something embarrassing. Thank you for listening. This is part one of A Lightsaber and a Love Story. If you enjoyed the story, you can leave feedback for the author at archiveofourown.org/works/243-08530. And if you enjoyed my reading, you can find me at archiveofourown.org/users/lattice_frames.